the Sevenfold Puja, firstly worship, with Mandarava, Blue Lotus and Jasmine.
With Mandarava, Blue Lotus and Jasmine.
With all flowers pleasing and fragrant.
With all flowers pleasing and fragrant.
And with garlands skillfully woven.
And with garlands skillfully woven.
I pay honour to the princes of the sages.
I pay honour to the princes of the sages.
So worthy of veneration.
So worthy of veneration.
I envelop them in clouds of incense.
I envelop them in clouds of incense.
Sweet and penetrating.
Sweet and penetrating.
I make them offerings of food hard and soft.
I make them offerings of food hard and soft.
And pleasing kinds of liquids to drink.
And pleasing kinds of liquids to drink.
I offer them lamps encrusted with jewels.
I offer them lamps encrusted with jewels.
Festooned with golden lotus.
Festooned with golden lotus.
On the paving sprinkled with perfume.
On the paving sprinkled with perfume.
I scatter handfuls of beautiful flowers.
I scatter handfuls of beautiful flowers.
So first of all, we're going to have our short ritual involving the mitras in the room. And this is called a mitra reaffirmation ceremony. And basically, it's an opportunity to sort of focus in, if you're a mitra, just focus in on the sort of baseline of what it means when you take that step of becoming a mitra. I mean, some of you became a mitra many, many years ago. Some of you became mitras very recently. And there's also some of you, I think, here who are going to become mitras later this evening. So for those of you who haven't yet had your mitra ceremony, then you just sit and listen. But for everyone else who's taken that step, it's just a chance to, let's say, bring that focus in of that baseline of significance of your connection with the three jewels, and you're just exploring more. What are the three jewels? What does it mean to go for refuge, to whatever degree you feel able, to those three jewels? So we'll do it in call and response. So basically, I'll recite a line, and then those of you who are mitras, just say the line straight afterwards, all together. And at the end of that ritual, we're going to move straight on into the recitation for the order members. And then we'll have the Maitri mantra, and we can all just make offerings. The mitras, the order members, friends, everybody who's here can just come up, three or so of you together at a time, and make offerings. Is that clear? Okay. And if you don't, you know, if you feel like, oh, you don't feel comfortable about saying these things out loud, but that's all right. You can just say them quietly in your mind, but hopefully a few of us will say them out loud. I go for refuge to the Buddha.
I go for refuge to the Buddha.
And to the tradition he founded.
And to the tradition he founded.
I go for refuge to the Dharma.
I go for refuge to the Dharma.
And to the practice of the five precepts.
And to the practice of the five precepts.
I go for refuge to the Sangha.
I go for refuge to the Sangha.
And engage with this spiritual community.
And engage with the spiritual community.
Around me, here and now.
Around me, here and now.
So now we have a little ritual for the order members. Now, although it did say on the program reaffirm, it's not quite reaffirming. It's more like restating or stating afresh, stating publicly some verses which happen in an ordination. There's a private aspect to the ordination. There's a public aspect to the ordination. And at the end of the public ordination, sometimes it has literally been public. Someone gets ordained and they're actually, the ordination ceremony happens at the centre, like at, say, at the Cambridge Buddhist Centre. And it's a truly public event. There are not only order members present, but there's a wider sangha, there may be family, and so on and so forth. So these verses might have been said in front of a truly public event. And of course in India, they're very public. Thousands and thousands of people turn up for the public ceremonies, to witness public ceremonies. But sometimes the public basically consists of all the other order members who you've been on retreat with for 3 months or 4 months. So it is public, but it's a very particular public. So, some of us here who are in the order may never have expressed these verses out loud in front of a wider public than the order. So the verses, Sangharakshita composed these verses, and how he first spoke them, he said he felt they conveyed the spirit in which one had accepted the ordination. So the spirit in which we've accepted the ordination, and they reflect the sort of the spirit in which we hopefully keep practicing within the order. So in a way, they're always there. They're eternal, you could say, to the extent that we, to all intents and purposes, when we join the order, we join the order for life. That's our intention at the time. I mean, it doesn't always work out like that. Sometimes people do choose to leave the order. But to all intents and purposes, by the time you get ordained, you're sort of putting yourself into practicing the Dharma, well, in a way, for indefinitely, but at least for this lifetime. So I think all the order members have got a copy of them in front of them, just in case they don't remember the order. I'm sure people remember what they are. So we're all just going to recite them in unison together. And can I ask that we just do this in quite a slow, measured way, so we don't just race through them. We can savour them, and it's also an opportunity for others to actually hear what they are. All right? But again, as with the mitras, if you feel you'd rather just say them quietly to yourself in your own mind, then feel free to do that. With loyalty to my teachers, I accept this ordination. In harmony with friends and brethren, I accept this ordination. For the attainment of enlightenment, I accept this ordination. For the benefit of all beings, I accept this ordination.
Om Mai Shri.
tree